Hi, how are you, Will?
I'm good. How you doing?
Just fine. So, this is quite an adventure you had with Saturday night. And
Yeah, no kidding.
the thing is, before I saw Sat, because I have loved your work in sound for many, many years. Even back before you did Mud, Let Me In with Matt Reeves, or your films with Craig Zobel. But about 5 days before I went and saw Saturday Night at the screening, I watched White Bird, which I have to tell you, exquisite sound design.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that.
Absolutely exquisite sound design
Thank
there.
you. Mark is he's such an elegant filmmaker, it's always a pleasure to work with him because he's got such amazing taste.
And that's such a sensitive story to be
Oh, yeah.
telling, but the sound and the way the nuance that you have within it, especially in the loft, in the barn, is just
Yeah.
absolutely incredible. So,
Thank you. Great. I really appreciate that. I'm so glad that people are finally having a chance to see it because we actually finished it a little while ago. I think it got the release date kept getting kind of moved around.
yeah.
So yeah, I'm really glad that people are finally getting to see the movie because I think it's a beautiful film.
Oh, absolutely. I needed tissues.
Oh, good.
I
That's good.
needed
That's what
tissues.
we're going for.
And of course, and then I counter that with the bike riders, which, oh my God, the bike riders, the sound is amazing. With all the different motorcycles and everything you have happening in there, I think, in all honesty, if people see White Bird, the bike riders, and now Saturday Night, they will get the most amazing context of your range as a sound designer.
Last couple of years. Very lucky to work on, not only just some great movies, but also very diverse sonic experiences.
Yes,
So.
absolutely. Saturday Night, though, this is a sound experience, a sonic experience, unlike most. This
I
is
agree.
a layered cacophony of chaos.
That's great.
You see the chaos unfolding visually, but it's also you're capturing that chaos sonically and telling a story of sound that adds more depth to the chaos we're seeing in the visuals. And the diversity that you give us in Saturday Night. We've got street scenes, which is perfect. New York late night, Saturday night street scenes, cars honking, taxis, wheels are screeching as brakes are being hit, people are yelling in the street. We have the studio mayhem, but then you also give us quieter moments, the quiet moment out on the roof, outside, quieter one-on-one moments locked in an office or wherever they can find a quiet space. So you give us so many different elements here. And this isn't your first rodeo with Jason as a director. So I'm curious how you started to approach this cacophony with Saturday Night.
Carefully but quickly. Jason loves to move fast. I mean, just in
Yeah.
general. So he called me in. We're actually just we were just finishing the second Ghostbusters film right when he went off to shoot this film. So as we were doing Ghostbusters, he was deep in prep. Ghostbusters. What do they end up calling it? Frozen Empire. So just as we were finishing that with him and Gil and Shane and Nate, editors. The four of those guys were also in the middle of prepping for Saturday Night, which started shooting right when we finished the mix for
Oh
Ghostbusters.
my God.
So it was almost like, one big continuous project in some ways. which was cool because we all got to talk about, you know, some of the ideas and they, you know, before they went off and shot. And then as soon as he got back, he called me in and said, okay, this movie is going to be, you know, it's, he basically said, sound is more important in this film than any film I've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, okay. you know, no pressure. And, you know, it was a little surprising to hear considering, you know, we just finished a really complicated, you know, sci-fi movie, you know, Ghostbusters, and done, you know, two of those now, and they're really complicated sound movies. But for him to say that, it kind of immediately got my attention, and then he, you know, hit play and showed me the movie, and I was like, ah, okay, I get it. I understand now. Because, you know, you've got, you know, at any given moment, a dozen or two dozen actors all, you know, on top of each other, all speaking on top of each other, weaving in and out. The cameras, you know, weaving in and out through all of them, a lot of long takes. And then you've got a score that was recorded on set largely, and is very, you know, dynamic and, you know, moves around almost as much as the actors are moving around. And then, of course, you've got, you know, all this vintage 70s sound effects, you mm-hmm. know, like, you know, like all the old equipment and, you know, people, you know, it was a louder world back then, right? So you've got, you know, the cars were louder, you know, the phones were louder, the, you know, machinery was louder. And so you've got this whole rich palette of 70s sounds to draw from to weave in with all this stuff as well. And then just the fact that, you know, Steve Morrow, our heroic production sound mixer on set, was recording, you know, as many as like 40 tracks sometimes. With all the different actors, everybody's wearing a radio mic. Everybody's, you know, there's plant mics hidden all over the set. He had microphones, multi-channel microphones hanging over the sets to capture ambience. He had multiple boom operators. You know, we had phone taps. We had, you know, just about everything you can imagine. You know, so in any given shot, I'm getting as much as like I said, 40 different tracks of audio.
Wow. Yeah, I was wondering how many tracks you had going there because with so much happening and so many people, and I could tell because I'm old enough and my dad was in broadcast television going back to the late 40s. So I was in a studio. I'd go to work with him. He'd take me to work. And so I know the sound of what happens when you're in a studio, when you're in a set, back in the days of the 70s,
yeah.
the 60s, the 70s, yeah, when this cool. started. I mean, I still remember the night, Saturday night premiere, and I watched it live because I lived in Philly.
You know, they almost didn't make it there.
I know. But I appreciate all of the sounds that I am hearing in the studio, the rush, the madness, because when you're going live, it's unlike any other animal that anyone has dealt with. And I think people today don't really understand or appreciate that. That you're not getting a second chance.
Right.
You know, that's it.
Yeah. It's exhilarating. I mean, I used to work in radio. That's how I came up. And my father was a broadcast engineer in radio.
Yeah.
So I literally grew up in a radio station. You know, and this was back in the early 80s when it was, everything was loud still. And
yeah.
So I remember very much like hanging out in the transmitter room and hanging out in the engineering rooms and stuff like that. And just the sort of clunky, you know, cookie, clunky, worrying, you know, all that kind of stuff that is largely absent from our world now.
Yeah.
You know, where everything's solid state and everything is, you know, computerized, but back then everything was obviously relays and motors and, you know, transformers and all this loud stuff. So we really tried to lean into that reality back then, and we went and recorded a bunch of old equipment. You know, luckily there's still a fair amount of old stuff on the movie lots, so we were able to find, you know, down in the bowels of engineering, you know, old equipment that hadn't been e-wasted yet.
Mm-hmm.
We recorded a bunch of that. And we created, you know, libraries of you know, old sounds and even things like scrubbing, you know, scrubbing videotapes and that sound of, you know, that you know, kind of thing. You know, it's just a texture that, like, you don't really hear anymore because everything's digital, right? So we tried to think of, you know, what are all the sounds that we remember from, you know, our youth? And then just trying to lean into that kind of, like, noisier world, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, this is where you and I are very lucky because we had dads that were broadcast engineers.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was the part I was born to play, you know?
Yeah!
Like, luckily, you know, I literally had a background in this that I was able to tap into. And, you know, it felt very near and dear to my heart in a lot of ways. You know, one of my favorite moments in the film is when Lauren first walks into the control room and you're sort of hit with this wall of, you know, loud machinery. And it just reminds me of when I was a kid hanging out with my dad at a radio station. You know, that's what the world sounded like back then.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I would hang out with my dad and there would be monitors all over the place. Generally, just television sets, actually. And there was always the Grass Valley Master Mixer.
Yep.
All of these, and everything has, as you said, a distinctive sound. And this is what I so appreciate, Will, that you did. You brought this whole era to life with this one film, with this one show. So I'm curious here, with all of the tracks that you're recording, as you're running around, because you also have production numbers in here. You have the Milton Berle production number, Song and Dance. You've got live musical acts that are Saturday night for the Saturday night show proper. Were you doing anything differently in recording those segments versus the general chaos?
Well, I mean, you know, again, luckily we had, you know, Stephen Morrow, our production mixer, did such an amazing job of capturing all the on-set performances because, you know, what you see in the movie is them singing and playing guitar and whatever else they're playing, you know, on camera. Like, that's really John Batiste and his band really playing, and that's, I forget the name of the actress, but, you know, she's really playing guitar and singing and you know, that's the real audio, right? So we tried to stay as authentic as we could with that stuff. But one thing that we did, which I was really pleased with how it turned out, was we were actually able to capture the acoustic signature, the reverberation of the original Studio 8H in Rockefeller Plaza. We used some new software that essentially lets us sample the acoustic space from a recording and apply that acoustic space to other recordings. So we applied to the very first episode, you know, of SNL. Chevy Chase comes out after the Wolverine sketch.
Mm-hmm.
And it was live from New York Saturday night, you know, for the first time ever. And we actually took that because he yelled that out pretty loudly. And you can actually hear the studio space. And what I realized was, you know, we've been watching SNL for 50 years now, right?
Yep.
And all of us, whether or not we realize it, we actually know what Studio 8H sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard it for 50 years, right? And it's a pretty reverberant studio. It's a really big room, despite it being in, you know, in a skyscraper in Manhattan. It's actually quite a large space, and so it's quite reverberant. And we all know subconsciously the way it sounds.
Yeah.
So we were actually able to capture that space.
Oh, wow.
And then apply it to not only all the dialogue that was recorded on set, but all the music that was recorded on set, all the Foley, all the sound effects, you know, and all the additional voices that we recorded to fill in all the extras and all the activity. And so we were able to actually, you know, apply not only the real Studio 8H acoustic space to everything,
mm-hmm.
So it had, you know, that sort of innate sense of authenticity that subconsciously we're all hopefully aware of, but it also gave us this way to kind of tie everything together sonically so that all those disparate elements that were recorded, you know, obviously not everything was recorded on set, even though a lot of the music was recorded on set, not everything was. So, and obviously all the sound effects and all the Foley and everything that we're adding to the film was not recorded on set. So it gave us this really great way to tie everything together sonically, so it really sounded like it was in the same space. Ultimately, we're just going for authenticity. We really wanted this to feel unquestionably real.
So since I have only a last question here then, gotta ask you, Will, what was, as you're putting all this together, did you have to get into much ADR because you've got so many tracks and so much sound? I'm curious if you had to go back in and do a lot of ADR on this one.
Well, one thing I know about Jason is he's very decisive, and, you know, once he chooses something, that's it. You know, he doesn't usually change his mind, and that goes just as much for the performances in the film as anything else. So he doesn't want to change the performance if he can help it. Like, he really wants to use the recordings from set. So the general rule in Jason's movies is no ADR. We really try so hard to salvage every little bit of production dialogue so we don't have to replace it. As far as I can remember, we had very, very little ADR. However, we had a tremendous amount of what we call loop group ADR.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we brought in a troupe of New York actors, and we had them, you know, filling in all the other offstage activity, or, you know, seen or unseen. So, you know, we had an additional, you know, dozen actors or so basically playing, you know, all the people in the background and the people walking by in the hallways. And we actually recorded a lot of that in situ. So we actually recorded it in hallways, and we recorded it outside. And, you know, we, like I said, we had, you know, real New York actors that had that kind of flavor. So there was actually a tremendous amount of that in this film. And a lot of times we'd kind of record that stuff just to kind of cover our butts. In this film, it was like a player. It was like a major player. So it wasn't just texture. It was like a major part of the tapestry of the film.
Well,
so, in a sense, no ADR, very little ADR, but in another sense, a ton of ADR.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, everybody says they're the not ready for primetime players. Your sound design and sound work on Saturday Night is the star of the primetime players.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
It truly, truly makes the film three-dimensional and textured.
Fantastic. I appreciate that.
It wouldn't have worked without this attention, this much detail in the sound. I can't thank you enough, Will. Hopefully we'll get to talk again in the future about more of your incredible work.
I'm around. Emily knows how to get in touch with me.
And maybe even as we move deeper into awards season, there might be another reason to chat. So,
yeah, I mean, if we're lucky, right?
I can't thank you enough. I really appreciate this, Will. Thank you.